Sunday with Miriam on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Travel Department. Explore the wonder of the world's most iconic sites with Travel Department, the world discovered together.
Welcome back. Now, I'm delighted to welcome Terry Prone, Chairman of the Communications Clinic, and Fergus Finlay, former Labour Party advisor, to studio this morning. Both columnists, of course, with The Examiner, and now podcast hosts. Welcome to you both.
Thank you very much, Miriam.
Thanks for coming into the studio. It's a great idea. It's called Grey Matters. Now, it's not an Examiner podcast, we should clarify. And you're going to give it a go, I think, initially with 6 episodes. Terry, tell me what it's all about. I listened to a little clip this morning, and basically you're both saying, look, over 54, like it or not, society looks at you differently.
And they look at you in a bad way. The idea kind of started, Miriam, during the pandemic, because like everybody in the country, coming up to 6 o'clock, I would turn on the RTE television news to get up to date about how bad things were. And there were 2 things that kept recurring. One was older people were always visually summed up as 2 creaking hands on the top of a walking stick. That was old people. And then the second thing was this god-awful story that would appear and reappear, which had an older person standing gratefully on the doorstep while nice neighbours arrived and put groceries in a box in front of usually her. And I'm looking at this and thinking, dear sweet God, one of the results of this pandemic is that older people are going to be caricatured, demeaned, diminished. And I got angrier and angrier after the pandemic because other examples kept popping up. And I thought, do you know something? Nobody is challenging this. Nobody is challenging this. It's time somebody did. And then I thought, but it can't just be me. It has to be somebody ideally that I disagree with.
So call in Fergus Finlay.
Precisely.
Go, Fergus.
Well, yeah. Now Terry's trying to persuade you that this is all her idea, which is the first con that has been perpetrated this morning. Look, she's right. The word that really got on my goat during the pandemic was the word vulnerable, because older people were universally vulnerable. Now, the truth is that older people, particularly those with any kind of underlying health problems, were much more at risk from the virus than younger people were. But that didn't make us universally vulnerable. And night after night after night, people were being exhorted to look after the vulnerable elderly. And people were being kind about it. But the more you were, quote unquote, being looked after, the more you felt, shag this for a game of soldiers. I'm perfectly capable of putting on my mask, walking down the shop and doing my own shopping. And I think we both felt it's time, not maybe to fight back because you get to a certain age and fighting isn't quite your game anymore.
Speak for yourself.
So when Terry and I start talking about it, I mean, we're an odd couple in some ways. I mean, for years and years and years, I thought of Terry as one of them. Terry and Tom, they were them and we were us.
Them being who, Fergus?
Them being the other side politically. They worked for different political parties. Well, I think Terry would admit herself to being politically promiscuous. She'd worked for anybody. But I'm very partisan.
Can I tell you, because it's interesting, the very first time I encountered or nearly encountered Fergus was my wonderful husband, Tom Savage, my wonderful
He's
late husband.
He's a lovely
husband,
man.
Thank you. He had me come into government buildings for some reason. He was at the time advising Albert Reynolds and I was in there for some reason. And we were in the grounds and these two guys passed us. One of them I knew as Dick Spring. And the
as
other,
you would, as you would, maybe, as you would. He was Thomas.
Tall, handsome, yeah.
The other guy looked at the two of us with such concentrated hatred, I was taken aback. And when they had safely moved on, I said to Tom, who's that guy and why does he hate us so much? And Tom said, oh, that's Fergus Finlay, as if that explained everything.
It was said of me at the time that Dick Spring didn't have to be grouchy with people because he had me to be grouchy on his behalf.
Now, was that true?
No, it wasn't. Of course, okay. It wasn't. I'm just naturally grouchy.
And that sustained.
And the truth is, of course, I didn't hate Tom and Terry, and I didn't. But every time I saw them, I wondered what nefarious plot was being hatched now, and how was Labour going to be disadvantaged? Because that's me. I am really, really partisan. Now, the breakthrough, I think, the breakthrough actually happened a bit before. My wife, Frieda, was a disability activist and was very heavily involved in speaking on behalf of people with an intellectual disability, particularly. She was involved in an organisation called Inclusion Ireland, and they organised a training course, which Terry did. Terry trained them. And Frieda came back and said, have you met this woman, Terry Prone? She's a genius, absolute genius. And when I got to know Terry, Terry said to me, are you married to Frieda Finlay? That woman is a genius. So they fell in love with each other, which put me at a slight disadvantage. It's very difficult to maintain deep suspicion of somebody that your wife thinks is absolutely wonderful. So I gradually got to realise that Terry must be wonderful after all.
But the background that Fergus has means that although we have different views of ageing, every now and again he says something that utterly floors me. The other day when we were in studio, just before we were recording the actual podcast, he started talking about Down syndrome and the link to dementia.
Yes, it's not widely known.
Because you have a wonderful daughter.
I have a daughter with Down syndrome.
Just for anyone who doesn't know,
I have a daughter with Down syndrome, Mandy, who's now 52.
She's a superstar in her own mind.
Sort of a superstar, certainly in her own mind, a bit like myself, a legend in her own mind. We discovered, the world doesn't know this, about a third of people with Down syndrome will get dementia in their 50s, and half of people with Down syndrome will get dementia in their 60s. And this strikes me as a terrible injustice. You're born, they give you Down syndrome, and they say, oh, by the way, you're going to die of dementia when you're much younger than everybody else. Terrible injustice. And as it happens, a number of Mandy's now 52, a number of Mandy's closest friends are slipping into dementia now. And it's the most heartbreaking thing. Young people that you've known for 30 years who don't remember your name anymore, and I won't go into their names, but they're all great. They're friends of our family, they're friends of ours, and so on. And that dementia, that side of it, which we haven't really talked about in detail yet, the whole thing about dementia and ageing, it's particularly cruel in the world of Down syndrome. Yeah. And it's unknown. Now, Mandy, I have to tell you, Mandy has been assessed twice in her 40s and in her early 50s, and she's flying it. Yeah. It turns out I'm probably closer to dementia than Mandy is, and I'm 20 years older than Mandy. 30, 40, I don't know how many years older.
A few
years older than Mandy. She's 52, I'm 75, so a bit older. And that's fine, but she's losing friends at a young age because of dementia. And so dementia is one of the things we want to cover.
So it's one of the subjects you cover in the podcast.
We will cover.
What else? Like, and who decides? Like, are you very collegiate now? Who decides what you're going to talk about?
We talk at random, and then one of us is sent off by the other to go and write. Our second episode is about what we call the pension trap. So I did a bit of research into pension, the history of pensions, why, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the things I discovered, I should know this, we should all know this, it's not compulsory to retire at 65. There's no law that says you have to retire at 65, but we all believe there is. There's a range of employment contracts and so on, but nobody can actually make you retire at 65, but everyone thinks you have to. Mm. And not just that you have to, that you're then invited to take a comfortable spot on the scrap heap. Thank you very much. And we were making the point the other day, and it actually goes younger than 65.
Yeah.
I think it is the case, if particularly in a physical job in Ireland, if you're made redundant at 54, which isn't as common now as it used to be in the 70s and 80s, but if you're made redundant at 54, your chances of ever working again in Ireland are pretty slim. People look at you at 54, what can he lift, what can he carry, how can she be a nurse at 54? And it's really, really hard.
And that's not, this is one of the things that I want the podcast to address very strongly, Miriam, is that is not the case in other countries. If in America you want to be a cop, you want to be a firefighter, you can be either until you're 90, as long as you can fulfil the physical tests that prove that you're fit enough. Whereas here we say, no, we couldn't have a guard after 60. And that's one of the guards have to retire. This is crazy. There are many guards, male and female, who are as fit mentally and physically as they ever were. But what drives me particularly nuts is that aging and old age is looked at politically as just a kind of a corporate national pain in the ass, that older people must be bought off by 20 quid in the pension coming up to a budget, that they are people that to whom we must show compassion, care, all of that stuff.
Care.
And there's nobody in politics, including the Labour Party, saying, hang on a second, we have gained an extra 10 years in longevity within our lifetime. Why are we not looking at older people as an asset to be exploited for the good of the nation? Nah, let's just mind them and show them compassion.
Yeah, I'm not going to defend the Labour Party, just as I'm not going to attack any of the half a dozen parties that Terry has worked for. But it's true. Public policy is blind. I mean, she was talking about America. I discovered yesterday, you can become an ICE agent in America, as we now know, with no qualifications whatsoever. The basic qualification to become an ICE agent is that you have to be able to run a mile and a quarter in 15 minutes. I'm 75 and I have bulging discs. I can run a mile and a quarter.
So you could be an ICE agent.
I could be an ICE agent. And I have other qualifications of empathy and so on. You don't have to be a brute, but it helps, apparently. And so I'm not advocating that. I'm not advocating that, you know, we should hire people for their brutality. But the whole business of saying, here's an arbitrary age, you're done now. Not acceptable. Not acceptable.
I think there'll be a lot of people listening who'll be very interested in the podcast. And even the thing you were saying about the image of the elderly woman with the hands of the man. I know from geriatricians I know well, they loathe that image too.
Yes.
Like they really object to it.
And rightly so. And again, I hate to quote America as if America was the fount of all youth. But if you see posters of older people in, say, Florida, the older people are really glamorous and gorgeous because why? They're a big market. Whereas in Ireland, when can either of the three of us remember a really good, positive picture of an older person? I would defy either of you to come up with, because older people are seen as a problem. And while I'm very much, and I hope Fergus is too, in attacking mode on this, I'm also hoping that people in, say, advertising will go, oh, gosh, there's an awful lot of them. They have money. Maybe we better be nicer to them.
A lot of people are texting him, but I'll give you two. I think over 55s are treated differently, but not necessarily worse. Particularly young men in their 20s and 30s treat the over 55s, women especially, better. They're more polite, they're more friendly, they're warmer. I think it's because they think of us like their mothers. And another says, I always play the age card, Miriam, with my family. Unfortunately, it gets me no sympathy. So, you know.
That thing of younger men being nicer to you is a double-edged sword. I was headed to a local restaurant very near where my business is, and this gentleman, a young lad, came up to me, and I'm looking at him thinking, you're French, maybe Spanish? And he said
handsome
to me, could he help me across the road? When I didn't beat him to death right there
the
in the street,
guy.
He was looking. And I'm standing.
This is Terry standing at traffic lights in four inch heels and an elegant pantsuit, and he wants to help across the road. So she could have helped him across the road.
Sometimes, look, we do have accidents, disasters, illnesses, vulnerabilities, all of that jazz. But the assumption that we are not whole, that we are not equal, that
we're not past it. That's the point. We're just not past it. Mm. I mean, the bee I have in my bonnet, I say it every time chance I get. I'm happy with the thought of getting older, but I'm the one who's going to decide when I'm old. Nobody else is going to tell me I'm old. I'm older, fine. Old, Not yet.
Would
there.
Would you accept that you both are quite lucky? Because you're here this morning, you're setting this up. You're in an area of work that you can both keep working and do what you want. And whilst there's probably people listening this morning, and what advice would you give them who don't feel they have the same chances as you two do?
Agree with you totally. The first thing is that I have one huge advantage, which is that I'm a major shareholder in a company that employs me. That means they can't fire me, they can't retire me, they can't put me out to grass. What I would say to everybody, including your younger listeners, start your own business and keep it. Don't sell it, own it, because in 50 or 60 years' time, it'll stand by you. Mm. And the other thing is, look for possibilities. When you're talking to politicians, when you're talking to influencers, when you're on radio programs, talk about what older people have to offer. Don't let it be restricted to people as fortunate as Fergus and me.
Mm. Fergus, what would you
say? Well, I'm in a slightly different position because nobody wants to fire me because by and large I work for nothing, which makes me, they're less keen to fire me for that reason. What I tend to say to everyone I know who's approaching retirement is make one resolution. Make one resolution. You're not going to give up. You're not going to stop. Particularly, you're not going to allow your brain to stop. I encourage everybody to continue working at whatever, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. In the neighbourhood, in the community association, whatever. Mm. Continue working to an extent that exercises their brain and their guilty conscience at least 15% of the day. If your guilty conscience is at you because there's work you haven't done, you're going to live 10 years longer.
But in addition, this is the last bastion of bad social rights, bad human rights for people. For example, just before Christmas, I had to go to my local GP and submit myself to 6 million questions. Why? To get my driver's license renewed. Now, I had to prove, which was relatively easy, that I have 20/20 vision, grand, that I'm not nuts, that I don't have this, that and the other.
But she is nuts.
Don't tell a GP.
Not in a driver's license way. And then as I'm going home, I'm thinking, hang on a second. Who are the people who caused the majority of the accidents in this country? Tell you something, they're not pensioners.
Yeah.
So why are we paying more attention to making pensioners prove that they're okay to drive when they're not the source of danger?
Now, it's called Grey Matters, the podcast, and actually the grey vote. I mean, there is power in people who are older.
And don't make us angry. You'll remember, Miriam, you'll remember when the world fell apart in 2008 and the banks collapsed and young Brian Lennon introduced an austerity budget, which took away some of the things that were associated with the public service card and the medical card and so on, and free travel, and put limits on stuff that never had been limited before for the sake of saving a few bob. And the grey vote went to the streets, and he realised that he was now dealing with people who had been kids in the 60s and adults in the 70s who felt that they had developed a stake in Ireland, a real stake in Ireland, and they weren't going to be messed around like this. And they reversed that policy, and they've been afraid to touch it ever since. So whatever you do, don't make the grey vote angry. What we want to do is make the grey vote angry. We want to make the grey vote a bit pissed off about some of the things that are going on, about some of the distinctions that... I mean, the word I hate most in the whole world as attached to older people is care. You hear it all the time. You never hear the word rights. You never heard the word independence. You never hear the word dignity. You never hear the word unbundling of funding to enable people to manage their own destinies. You never hear any of that in public policy. You hear care, care, care. And care is done on the cheap, usually farmed out.
Not always, Fergus. The HSE does this great thing for older people where they look after chronic illnesses and you have to pitch up and show them your asthma and stuff like that. There are some of those things that work.
That's not aimed at older people, Terry. That's aimed at people who have chronic diseases, some of whom are in their 40s.
Make a fine point,
I like this podcast.
We have one listener.
We're the only country in the world, as far as I know, where the care of all older people, and the care of all very young children is farmed out to the private sector. No other country in the world does that at both ends of the generational spectrum. And it's nutty. It's absolutely nutty.
Well, listen, sounds to me like you're going to have so much to talk about on your new podcast. It's called Grey Matters. It's available wherever you get your podcasts. Your latest book also, Terry, is called, I'm glad you asked me that, Terry Prone and Fergus Finney. I think it'll be a roaring success. Thank you both very
Thank
much
you
this
very
morning
much,
for coming in.
We'll try and calm down now, OK?
Yeah, no, don't. It'll make it all the more interesting. We're going to take a break.